Well, I appreciate you all taking as little time as possible to allow me the maximum amount of time to speak to you today. So my next 40 minutes will be talking about my dissertation research. It's graciously supported by the folks at the National Institutes of Mental Health and the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Those are grants specifically focused on urban and rural differences in the utilization of mental health and substance abuse services. And sadly for them, anybody from NIDA or NIMH here, that there were no differences between urban and rural communities. So. I have no financial relationships to disclose. However, if you would like to give me a reason to disclose, I have the line forms over here to the right. I do have two other disclosures, though. Do any of you work with emergency departments at all? Okay, good. I do not work with emergency departments. I work in the Department of Human and Organizational Development, so I'm interested in quality improvement and factors that relate to the improvement of mental health systems. So I'll be interested in your expertise if you can stick it out through the end of this presentation and resist the urge to make it a happy hour. The second thing is, do we have statisticians in the audience here? Okay. You're welcome to leave the room at this time. I have the main disclosure on that is that the models that I estimated are estimated using HLM software, and given the low utilization rates that I have here, you guys will probably be especially hip to the consequences of that for the analyses, and maybe we'll suggest alternative software or estimation techniques to improve my estimates. With that said, what exactly am I doing? I'm looking at the flow of cases into the emergency department. In this world, I'm looking at children with mental health issues, and I want to know three questions about them. If you have a mental health problem within a given year, what is the probability that you're going to end up in the emergency room in that year? And I'm going to look at individual and family and community and provider factors that will relate to that. Then once you get into the emergency room, one of two things can happen to you, roughly speaking. You can either be admitted to an inpatient facility directly from the emergency room. You're bad enough off to say, yes, we need to admit you and give you a bed and monitor you overnight. The other thing that could happen to you is that you could be evaluated and then discharged from the emergency room. On that side, if you're discharged into the community, I want to know whether you get any follow-up care when you go into the community. Do you see a specialty mental health provider after you've been discharged? On the assumption that if you are somebody, given the problems of getting mental health diagnoses onto a claim to be paid, and the stigmatization of children and all those other types of perceptual things, you're bad enough off that somebody's going to put your diagnosis on there as mental health, there's probably a good chance that you might need to be followed up in the community with somebody who knows what they're doing. Now, I plan to cut this all back to just talking about the utilization analysis here, but since everybody has left so much time, now I'll keep everything mostly to the emergency department. I'll go into detail on the emergency department analyses, and I'll just skip to the highlights of the inpatient admission rates and the community follow-up rates. Okay, let's skip through that. So what is known about utilization? The Institute of Medicine has had several reports in the last couple of years about the crisis in the emergency department, that there are all these ambulatory care sensitive conditions that are showing up in the emergency room, and for many types of mental health problems that are being treated, those could in fact be classified as ambulatory care sensitive. Seeing an increase over time using the National Hospital Ambulatory Medical Care Survey, increasing utilization of the emergency department for mental health problems, which may suggest problems with community availability of services and substitution in favor of the emergency department in favor of speed or access or some other rationale. The rates in rural communities have doubled, according to things in the literature, and urban communities are cracking down, probably largely because of financial pressures, particularly under managed care. Let's go over the conversion and follow-up stuff. So the, how am I analyzing this? I've got data from January 1994 through about December 2003. I'm going to focus specifically on the years after managed behavioral health care was implemented in Tennessee in July of 1996, and I've got 6 years worth of data that I'm analyzing. For the utilization analysis that I'm looking at, I'm taking the number of children that had a mental health problem on their primary or secondary diagnosis within that year, and then what proportion of those children appeared in an emergency room with a mental health or substance abuse condition on that claim. Okay. The additional information that I'm including about providers is not going to be relevant for the utilization analysis because children that don't go to the emergency department don't have emergency departments to report provider information on. So what I'm going to be controlling for is the clustering of cases repeated measures of children over time and their clustering within counties. And so I have county measures that will show on the next page here and some other information that is emerging from the census for measures of rurality. So I'm estimating a multi-level logistic regression model probability of emergency department use within a year. This is for the statisticians here. Hopefully I've spelled that all right. I'm using the Day Anderson framework to group my covariates into the model. Among the individual level factors that would predispose one to utilize the emergency department, gender, race, age, a past utilization of mental health services, and by past mental health service utilization, I'm talking about in the preceding fiscal year, did you use a mental health service in that year? Same for the substance abuse, did you use a substance abuse service in the previous year? Also, whether the child is in state custody, children in state custody may be more likely to have particular problems that would predispose them to utilization. Enabling conditions include the Medicaid enrollment category. There's some variation. It's not strictly for children. It's also children with disabilities, so we differentiate between youth that are in SSI, youth that are in the TANF program, youth that are in other poverty categories that are expansions. And then Tennessee, one of the things that was unique about Tennessee was the uninsured and uninsurable category. They used the savings nominally from the 10 care, from the managed care component to expand coverage to reduce uninsurance rates. On the need side, I have two utilization-based measures of need. You know, I'm not fortunate enough to be able to go into the emergency departments just yet to say, what was the triage level on this case? Or have an actual rating on a CSD or some other measure. So I'm having to rely upon two utilization measures. One is the diagnostic grouping, what types of mental health problems do you have? And so for that, I've grouped the cases according to whether presence of depression, substance abuse, anxiety disorders, conduct disorder, attention deficit disorders, serious mental illness disorders, which would start getting into sort of your psychosis and that type of thing, and then adjustment disorders, which you wouldn't think of as being an emergency issue, but maybe my emergency friend in the back will help enlighten me as to why that is cropping up. The other issue is being rated as seriously emotionally disturbed. As part of the 10 care program, the managed care plans qualified for a special benefit that boosted their capitation rates if the child was screened for having a serious emotional disturbance. In practice, whether those ratings actually persist, whether they're continuously seriously emotionally disturbed is not clear. So what happens is you get rated and that rating stays with you throughout the time period in the analysis. But at least at some point, you've used services and somebody has said, yes, you have a problem that is significant. The community predictor variables that I have are whether this is an urban or rural community. It's gradated between urban area, suburban areas, which are basically the ring counties of Nashville and Memphis and Tennessee, and a couple others sprinkled throughout. And then the very rural communities, which typically are things off of the interstate sort of go diagonally along the parallelogram from Virginia to Alabama and cut across the state horizontally. The other two measures that I have in there are counties' median income as a resource issue that they make it more likely that you have an emergency room, or more likely that you have alternative substitutes for treatments. And then the number of providers in the VHO network, and this was pulled from provider master files. And we'll skip over the provider stuff for the utilization purposes, because children that didn't show up in the emergency room, we don't have a hospital to identify for them. So this identifies for you sort of how the utilization rate changed over time. It started at about 1.3% and has increased about sixfold, I believe, to 7.7% over the six-year period. The number of cases that we're actually talking about here, there are 422,000 eligible children per year on the Tennessee program between the ages of 4 and 17. And in any given year, between 30,000 and 38,000 children have a mental health service. We see a jump from 389 emergency department users in 1997 to almost 3,000 in 2002. And the distribution of those is actually, the urban areas had only about 16% of the cases were from urban areas, and were roughly equally split between the suburban and more rural areas. So what were some of the factors? I lost my battle with sigma plot to put up a nice, pretty odds ratio pictures here, and rather than have microscopic fonts for a big table, I figured I would describe them this way. Girls, whites, and teens were much more likely to use the emergency department within a fiscal year among children that had a mental health problem. Girls were 44% more likely. Non-white children, in Tennessee is effectively African-American and white. There's not a particularly large Hispanic community that's participating in the program, or Asian community. Non-whites were 25% less likely, and teens, there was an age gradient so that children between the ages of 12 and 17 were about twice as likely as children between the ages of 9 and 11, and the very young children were the least likely to use the services, using the emergency department, that is. Living in a wealthier community increased the odds of emergency department use, a unit increase in the log of income, which is basically a jump from about $25,000 to about $43,000, I believe, results in a doubling of the odds of using the emergency department. Some of you will sort of think, like, why are there so many, why is in wealthier areas there greater emergency department use? We can talk about some of those reasons towards the end here. Past utilization, as you might suspect, previous substance abuse service use increased the odds, perhaps using substances puts you at greater life risk, or gets you into a situation where you're more likely to be identified and pulled into the emergency department. Or previous mental health use decreased the odds of using the emergency department. Let's see. All the supplemental security income program was the least likely to, was the most likely to use mental health use the emergency department. On the need measures that I had, the rating of serious emotional disturbance, children were 37% more likely to use the emergency department. And children, for all the diagnoses, I used depression as the comparison condition. Having substance abuse disorder, having a anxiety disorder, any of those other conditions, increase the odds of utilization of the emergency department 2 to 3 times. Now, I went to look a little bit more in more detail at this relationship between utilization and these SED ratings. And so I looked through here and kind of identified sort of these patterns of utilization that get sort of a distribution of the cases. Over the six-year period, about 40% of the cases were people that were intensely known to the mental health system. They had been rated at some point as being seriously emotionally disturbed. That somebody had gone through a detailed screening and assessment that gave them a level of functioning and a level of, functioning and symptomatology that rated them as seriously emotionally disturbed. And they had previous mental health treatment in the 12 months in the fiscal year preceding their emergency department visit, 40% of the cases. The other main group of cases are people that are initiating services for the first time in this given year. They have no history of having been identified and have no past treatment in the preceding year. This suggests sort of two different things that you would want to worry about if you're sort of planning for how the emergency department is being used as a component of mental health treatment. It could be the case that the chronic cases have very severe problems, and because they're complicated, because they're serious problems, you're just more likely to have emergency situations come up, and so therefore you're more likely to use the emergency department. However, you might think that because of those reasons, you'd be more known to the mental health system, you'd be more likely to have a case manager, more likely to have a regular source of mental health care, that you would therefore be less likely to use the emergency department. The second group is this, why is it that there are children that seem to be initiating cases or the early in their treatment histories that are having, that are presenting initially in the emergency department? Now I'm just going to skip over to the kind of highlights of the other things. About, except 1998 is sort of weird because there's a low base rate, so this is sort of a sampling variability issue here. But we see that it's roughly about 9% in the early years, and there's a slight slide off in terms of the rate at which children are admitted directly to the inpatient from the emergency room. And then it mirrors the pattern of adjustment disorders appearing on the diagnoses, and so somebody can explain why we would have adjustment disorders presenting and getting admitted to the hospital. I'd be curious to know. The other thing that the third question was about follow-up rates, about do children get community specialty mental health treatment? Do you see an individual therapist? Do you go to a group therapy session? Do you get put into a day treatment program, partial hospitalization? Are you in a family treatment situation? Less than one in five children is going to get a follow-up visit within 30 days. And for the most part, if you don't get it within the first couple of days, you're probably not going to get it. The median survival time, when I set this up as a survival analysis, but so few people were actually getting follow-up services of this type that the model sort of blew up. But you see a little bit of cycling that you see people on the first day, you see people at about, you know, the 14-day mark here, where there are sort of peaks of people exiting to get treatment. But anywho, so what this has demonstrated is that it is possible to take administrative data from insurance purposes and convert them into research purposes to identify ways to identify patterns of treatment and how children are utilized in the mental health system, and to relate those to individual and community and provider factors that would explain these patterns. Because there were such a large group of children that may have less severe conditions that are presenting for the first time and have no rating of being SED, there may be a cost containment opportunity to prevent them from showing up in the emergency department. There may also be cost containment opportunities in terms of managing the higher end cases that we talked about in the chronic condition category. Let's see. Goes with the next statement here, so we'll skip over that. And the only thing to highlight here is that even though I have a very large data set, I have over 400,000 cases per year, it took all that to find about 300 cases in the first year. So even though I have large numbers, it's actually a case of very small numbers, hunting and hunting and hunting to find service users. Let's see, next up with these data, I'm going to expand this to use Mississippi data, the same data that Daniel is using for his analyses. I've also purchased data from ARC to look at six states for more recent years. Tennessee has stopped our access to their data because we write things about how their children fare poorly under the managed care system, so we don't have any data since 2003. So I've got more recent data that I'll work with, and I'm looking forward to playing with the ANSYS data as well to get national representative stuff. and to be able to pick up things like triage and other destination issues for care. So there we go.
Concludes our presentations. We'd like to open up the floor now for questions. Should anyone have questions for the presenters?
Okay.
The emergency department clinician does not make the decision. It's an administrative category, so generally the child has to get referred to a mental health center that is responsible for doing a screening assessment for them. So the rating reflects the fact that you've gotten enmeshed into the system enough that somebody has gone through a formal assessment. Somebody is trained to do it, but also to do the functioning part and the symptomatology part. I don't believe so.
Not an institutional level of care, but a residential facility.
I believe the definition is that you have to have functional impairment as measured on one of the scales and a symptomatology level. I think most people that end up in residential will qualify as seriously emotionally disturbed, but not everybody that's seriously emotionally disturbed is a residential patient. Or
is a Medicaid funding decision?
Excuse me?
Is a Medicaid funding decision? So if there's specific money that Medicaid gets for, and there's specific waivers for children who are categorized as residential treatment level of care?
There is a category for psychiatric conditions under 21. And so that will be another way to identify it. However, the way Tennessee records that category in the system, would be another way to identify high-end cases or disturbed cases. The problem is that the way Tennessee codes this is that it's lumped in with their foster care category, and so it's impossible to distinguish. It could be the case that most everybody that's in foster care also meets those criteria, but it's not perfect.
Are there any more questions?
No.
Okay, well, we'd like to thank you for coming to Mental Health Policy and Public Health Issues this afternoon, and have a good evening.
Yay!
High five, people.
Thank you.